Professor Barry Shoup, the Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Good afternoon, Prof.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
I am very well and hoping you are too.
Yeah, I am indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
Prof, I'm going to let you talk to us about the importance of lockdown and whatever else it is that you have planned to tell us today. But I just want to put you on notice that I have a whole bunch of questions from listeners. So over to you.
All right. Thank you. Well, you know, as you know, we're now in the fourth day of our lockdown. And, you know, Assad's law, this is the day when the computer breaks down and you can't get somebody to come and fix it, or the oven breaks down and you can't get a repairman to come out. So it's a sort of a kind of a surreal atmosphere, I think, which we're all living through. But, you know, I'm sure many of us have kind of seen on TV pictures of in the townships in Alexandra where, you know, the police, the soldiers are trying to get people to kind of stay inside. It's very difficult if there are six people living in a shack to sure. try and remain inside. So, you know, there are large sections of our population where it's very, very difficult to maintain a lockdown. And the problem is that those of us that can do it, I've heard quite a few opinions now where they're saying, well, look, if it can't be implemented in the rest of the country, how are we going to affect the lockdown? And I think it's really so important to kind of emphasize that the importance of the lockdown is to kind of stop, to ameliorate the epidemic, to stop it, to avoid an explosive epidemic, to come at a slow enough pace that the healthcare system can keep up with it. I think that's the kind of whole idea of the lockdown. And it really depends on those of us that can maintain a lockdown, which is, of course, most of the listeners, or all the listeners sure. to the radio station, to kind of maintain it. It really depends on social cooperation of everybody to come to the party, because otherwise it would break down. And it really is up to us who can do it to maintain it.
Prof, just a question in that regard. The economic devastation that this virus is going to cause is inestimable right now.
Right, sure.
If the weakest groups were 55 plus, yeah. why was the lockdown not confined to all those aged 55 plus and the rest of us get it, recover, and develop that herd immunity that is being referred to?
Yeah, a lot of people have asked that. That in fact is the base of what's called the mitigation strategy. They actually tried that in the United Kingdom, but the problem is they did a modeling exercise in the United Kingdom, and they showed that the mitigation strategy, what you're saying, precisely what you're saying now, would result in England in 250,000 deaths and would totally overwhelm the healthcare system. So unfortunately, most countries in the world can't go through a mitigation strategy. It is being implemented in countries like the Netherlands, for example, quite successfully there. But the problem with us is that it would result in the epidemic really reaching a virtually an explosive situation. You'd have a sudden increase of a large amount of people with disease who would require intensive care, ventilators, and so on. And the healthcare system would just simply not be able to cope with it.
I suppose that's true, that question didn't take into account that so many young people here are immunocompromised, whereas they probably aren't in overseas countries, or certainly not to the same extent.
I think that, plus also young healthy people also do get serious disease. They're not totally protected. In fact, the Director General of WHO said, the young are not invincible, and there have been hundreds of cases of severe disease in the young and deaths in young, sensibly fit people. One case, of course, was the whistleblower in China, the doctor, if you recall. The doctor actually started the alert.
And did he die, or did the authorities get rid of him?
He died, and he was in his 30s and apparently had no underlying illness at all.
Okay. Prof, now to some of the questions posed by our listeners. Karen asked about the efficacy of masks. What is the latest intelligence with regard to masks?
Yeah, it's quite a complicated question. Masks are certainly efficacious and certainly recommended for healthcare workers. On that, there's no doubt. But they should have the masks which are going to protect them quite effectively. There's masks such as the N95 and similar masks like that, not the ordinary cloth masks which people are wearing around streets. So that's the one group. The other group are people that are infected already to prevent their infected respiratory droplets from being spread as they exhale air. That's the second group. So other than those two groups, in other words, in the healthy individual who wants to protect him or herself from being infected, masks haven't really been shown to be effective. In some cases, they actually can be counterproductive because people tend to fidget with them. They're uncomfortable. So they touch the front of the mask, which can be contaminated, and then touch the front of their face. Also, those masks don't totally stop air coming in. And also, when they take off the mask, sometimes they touch the front of it and then contaminate their hands. So overall, bodies like the World Health Organization or the Center for Disease Control in America have not recommended masks for people who are healthy to protect themselves because it hasn't really been shown to be effective.
Clive asking, which masks work? Would you have any idea, Prof?
Yeah, the kind of one, the mask which is really generally recommended is called the N95 mask. It's a mask which has got a filter in it which filters out particles as small as viruses. There are other similar ones, but the most popular one is called the N95. The masks such as the surgical mask, the cloth mask, those are effective for people that are already infected. The reason for that is that stopping the droplets coming out, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Prof, I want to move on because I've got a couple of questions for you today. The next question was, if you have recovered, are you susceptible to falling ill to another strain of the virus?
Yeah, you know, up to now, there seems to be only the one strain. It seems to be a homogeneous strain. But let me preface it by saying up to now. No, it could, you know, we're still in the very early stages of the infection. Remember, we only started in January. We're now only going about 3 months into the pandemic. So we are still in a learning curve. But there seems to be only one strain, and there seems to be immunity to that strain. How long that immunity will last, we don't really know. You know, time will tell. I think on the virological principles, one should have immunity for at least for a couple of months after that, provided that the strain is only one single strain, that it is homogeneous. So, sorry, it's a complicated answer, but the bottom line is we're still in a learning curve, to be quite honest.
Prof, the next question is asking for conjecture, but the question is, do you foresee that the current lockdown could be extended?
Gosh, that really is, that's the $64,000 question. To be quite honest, I can't really see what's going to happen in 2.5 weeks' time when the lockdown's supposed to come to an end. How, you know, because it can't, you know, I think at best there will have to be some kind of mitigation strategy. So at best, it won't be a full lockdown. There'll be mitigation, but we can't simply go cold turkey because there'll be a rebound if we do.
Prof, and then the final question for today from Vicky. How long after you've had symptoms and tested positive are you infective, I presume? Yeah.
Yeah, I think at least 2 weeks, provided there are not any complications like pneumonia and so on. But in the straightforward case without complications, probably about 2 weeks from the onset of symptoms.
Correct, yeah. This is a good slot. I think we've got good engagement at this slot. I think I'm going to ask our producer to try and keep you at this time. Seems to be working really well. But as always, thank you, Prof, for your input and look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.